hope as an anchor. Now an anchor on a boat. Who of you kind of been on the ocean on a boat and you know, who of you have ever dropped the anchor? Rolf has. Yes, Rolf. And Stephen has. All right. So you can check whether I'm saying it is true or not, because I've never dropped an anchor. I've dropped the clutch, yes, but you know, I've made wheel spin and stuff like that, but I've never dropped an anchor. But an anchor is supposed to, you know, especially in a storm, it is to keep the ship steady and safe and to keep it from washing onto the rocks and being destroyed, right? That's one of the functions. Other functions, I guess, is just to, you know, in nice weather, just plonk it down and just know that you're not going to drift anyway. So I guess it avoids us from drifting in a ship. Now, you know, we've been sort of thinking of, you know, at some point we must do the ship thing. And then after listening to Dion and Elmi's trip and then having, what did you get it called? You had? Doc Rock. She was still working for the church. And then Elmi comes to church and she's like this. No, I'm joking. But I mean, that's how she felt. Everything was moving. If she just turned her head quickly, like, she's like, oh, no, this is not going to work for me. But an anchor is there to keep us from, or the ship from being destroyed. And I think in what I'm going to discuss regarding hope this morning, it has the same function in a sense to keep us from actually ending up on the rocks. But before I get into that, I want to read to us Psalm 33, the whole psalm. So if you want to get it on your phone, you're welcome. This is the ESV version. But this is such a beautiful psalm. And I want us to carefully consider as I read this, I want you to hear the word of the Lord this morning. I want you to listen to everything that God is saying to you. I love the way this psalm starts, because this is actually even our response as Christians and as saints. So verse 1, shout for joy in the Lord. Man, come on. Okay, nobody. All right, okay. Sometimes when things are tough, when your life is not so lekker, just shout for joy in the Lord. As you shout, it's not necessarily angry or whatever, but a remembering of what God has done in your life. And I think as we sit here this morning, there's lots of testimonies here. There's lots of stories of what God has done in your life. Okay, shout for joy in the Lord, O righteous. Praise befits the upright. It befits the upright. It is how we should look like. Nah? This is our dress code, so to speak. Praise is what I should have on. Moaning does not befit a saint. Except like the Israelites, we can sometimes be very good at it. But none of you. Okay, great stuff. So, praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with a lyre and make melody to him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings. Thank you, Graham, for doing that this morning. With loud shouts, for the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves the righteousness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by his breath and his mouth, all the hosts. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in the storehouses. Man, how awesome is that? Let all the earth fear him. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. Hear that, nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Come on, South Africa, in Jesus' name. The people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the earth of them, he who fashions the hearts of them all, who observes all his deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. Hear that this morning. On those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their souls from death and keep them alive in a famine. Come on. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Sure. That is a cool psalm. A psalm that you can pray through, a psalm that you can worship through, a psalm that you can take and warfare when when life comes against you. While you are walking on the water in Christ, while you are facing every storm, this is a good one, and it starts off in a good way. Shout to the Lord. You see, here's the thing. Some of what is described here is not just meant for the worship team. It's meant for each one of us. You know, there's a different response when I face life, when I go into this moaning kind of, you know, I'm defeated kind of attitude, as opposed to shouting for joy, praising the God, putting on that garment of praise, putting on the right cloak, and facing everything that I'm facing right now. Listen, life will never be simple. In my short life on this earth, I've realized life still happens. Dankie, Larry. Jy kan maar weer kom. Life happens. You know, we have good seasons. And then we have seasons where, man. And my response is normally, Lord, rapture is a good idea now. I mean, come on, just take me home, Jesus. Yeah, I don't want to die. Just like, you know, instantly, none of this anymore. Just, I'm checking out. I'm checking into heaven so that I don't have this bully in my life anymore. Is that a wrong word? Sorry. I must talk to the Lord, because I think pastors should be exempt from this. You know, all the... it would be nice. Okay, if you're full-time minister, you're exempt from all the stuff of life. You just like, you know, just coast through it. I think sometimes people think that. That pastors and leaders in churches kind of just have it all, and they all sorted and everything. And I can tell you, and yes, my family asked them, life happens. Okay, at least Caleb knew it. All right, so that's okay. What is hope? What is hope this morning? Now, according to the dictionary, it says this: a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. That is the dictionary. So I guess, like Google, that is the truth. Nah? not all things of Google is the truth. Okay, good stuff. Hope is a feeling of expectation and a desire for a particular thing to happen. So what is hopelessness then? Hopelessness is a feeling or state of despair. And then despair means this: the complete loss or absence of hope. A lack of hope. And I guess my question to you is this morning is, where are you? And you might say to me, Quivers, no, I'm all good this morning, and I'm very hopeful and everything. But is that true of every area of your life? Are you hopeful in every area of your life? In other words, is every area of your life yielded to God in such a way that you are hopeful and you have hope? You see, when I am hopeless, I have no expectation of something that's going to happen, according to that definition. When I am hopeless, I have no desire for something to happen. When despair and hopelessness sweeps in, hope and expectation and desire disappears. when we got to Cape Town, what's it now, 28 years ago, something like that. There was a point in my life there when nothing was going right. I couldn't get work. Everything I tried failed. And then, like most Christians, you start praying. And you take scripture. And you start warfaring. And you're like, Jesus, I need you to pitch. Lord, this is the promises that you gave, blah, blah, blah. And I'm warfaring and I'm so on. And you know, it's in the beginning of a trial, it's always easy to do that. But as that trial went on, as that period went on, there was a point where I actually got to the place where I thought, there's not a snowball's chance on this earth that anything is going to change now. And giving up was an option. And now when I look back, I call it moed verloorse vlakte. What's that in English? The Valley of Despair, I guess, is a good translation. The valley, I was sitting there, and when I stared out over that valley, I saw nothing. No hope, no future, nothing. To be blunt, I was white in South Africa, and nobody wanted me. I handed out 64 CVs, and nobody employed me. That time was hectic for me. But what I loved about that time, as I look back, it took one man in obedience to the Lord, my cell leader actually, sat me down and said, "Jy moet jouself nou regkry," in nice English, because he was English. "You just need to focus now on what God has in store for." And he inspired me and he helped me. And in that moment, everything, well, no, not everything changed. I kind of just said, okay, I'll try that. And that's where everything changed. And you know, hope is a funny thing. Hope for change, for a future, for breakthrough, for answers, for provision, for deliverance, allows us to continue through adverse conditions and situations and realities. When you don't have hope, when there is not a preferable future for you, things look different. Then despair kicks in, and my life changes completely. Hope makes people powerful. Hope makes people resilient and makes them joyful in terms and places and situations where others look at them and go, "What's wrong with you?" There has been people on this earth that has gone through horrendous stuff. People right now going through stuff. And I tell you, hope will push them forward, will help them forward, will help them not to sit on a little hill and cry the whole time, because sometimes life gets to that place where when you look around, there's just nothing that's good. And even the stuff that is good, you will make it bad just because of where you're at. But when you have hope, man, it changes a person. I guess when I have hope, when I have this expectation according to that definition that a particular thing is going to happen, you know, I am still in it. But what is the difference between hope and Christian hope? Is there a difference? Okay. According to this, according to the English language, hope is generally not associated with certainty. And that definition says it. It is the expectation and a desire for something to happen. In other words, there's no guarantee that something is going to happen. It's like a wish. I hope someone will pay $1,000 into my account. And this is a joke, okay? But may you say, "Lord, if someone will just hear your voice and yeah, come on, Father, you know. You know I have to put on a new dress." Not me. Oh, yeah. As long as it's a kilt, I think I'll do that one. Nice save. I think you get even with that one now. I'm not sure. Any case. I will not appear in public, that's for sure. We would say, I don't know what's going to happen, but I hope it happens. That is it. But Christian hope, the difference is that with Christian hope, is when God has promised that something is going to happen, and I put my trust in that promise. That is the difference. You see, this hope that I've just described for you is based on my ability to kind of just hang on to it and really just hope for hope, you know, and then change my positive speaking and lots of stuff in this world that says how we need to kind of change our future. But the difference between that and where we are at is that we don't hope on something that's not going to happen. We hope in the promises of God. Our hope is based on the fact that God has said it and He's going to do it. It puts me in a place where I can just fully trust and rely on Him. See, Christian hope is a confidence that something will come to pass because God has promised it and He will bring it to pass. I love this scripture in Romans 15:13. He says, may the God of hope, I love this. This is how Paul describes our God. May the God of hope. God is many things. Yeah, He is the God of hope. The God in whom there's a future. The God who has a preferable future for me. Not just for someone else, because I know sometimes we go like, Lord, but that one's your witbroeke. You know, I only look after them. And the truth is, I want you to hear this morning. You are His. He loves you. And He is your God of hope this morning. May the God of hope fill you with all joy. Ha, come on. My prayer over you this morning, that is the God of hope will fill you with all joy. Man, because when that joy kicks in, the fear and the anxiety and everything will just go. Because you can't have both. May He fill you with all joy and peace in believing that that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Come on, saints. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we abound in hope because we serve the God of hope. Therefore, we cannot be hopeless. We cannot be a people that do not see a future, because when we are interacting with God, all we can do is see a hope and a future. Because He does. The TPT version puts it this way. Now, my God, the inspiration and foundation of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in Him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with a superabundance until you radiate with hope. Ah, come on. Sometimes a different version of the English version is a nice version because we can understand a bit more now. Especially if you're Afrikaans, then suddenly Romans in the ESV makes sense. I love this. Now it says, well, the Spirit continually surrounds your life. The truth is, it dwells in each one of us. We are the temple, the residence, the place of dwelling of the Holy Spirit. My life is full of God. Therefore, I will radiate hope. Just maybe tap someone there next to you, say, hey, radiate some hope. Listen, saints, can we just, I guess, wake up and smell the coffee, but is this not the one thing that this earth needs at this moment? I mean, you have to open Google or the news or anything at this time, and it's terrible. I don't know where that pitch went, but any case, it's terrible. I don't know where you got that note this morning. Goeie genade. I mean, jeepers, come on. That was like just, we will just stand and listen. I had nothing on that. I was trying to look for it. I couldn't find it. Who of you found the note? So it wasn't just me. Okay, but Larry, come girl. It was awesome. Come on, may the God of hope, the inspiration and foundation of all hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy. It is funny just watching the two of them has been this weekend at what's the thing's name, Zeal Conference. How they just come back, and I see some joy there. It's looking good. So much joy that she even got in behind the drums. Come on, Nicole. We honor you. Well done there. And perfect peace. Come on, guys. Perfect peace. Perfect peace. In the world that has no peace at the moment. Revelation tells us they will shout, peace, peace, we want peace. I don't want a piece of what they want, but the true peace here is with Jesus, the God of hope that fills us continually. And then obviously Jeremiah 29, 11 and 13 say, for I know, come on, hear it in the context this morning of what I'm saying, for I know the plans I have for you, because you are mine. You are my son, you are my daughter. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans of welfare and not of evil. To give you a future and a peace. No, yours is wrong. This one says hope. To give you a hope. Then, now, listen to this. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. Oh, what does that talk about? Intimacy, and I will hear you. So God is there and he wants to listen to you. Come and hear, come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Now just go back to verse 1 of Jeremiah. That says, now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue. So that means there wasn't many left. Okay, so when there's not many left, it means some of them died. Okay, so this is not a good place. So he's sending this to the residue of the elders, which were carried away captive, and to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Listen, saints, I want to tell you, they were not in a good space here. They were captive. They were bound. Some of them died. And this word, this scripture that we quote so much during Jeremiah 29, 11, which we quote so much, is in the context of them being in exile. So if you are in a place maybe of a bit of hopelessness in whatever area of your life this morning, this is a good word for you. Because the word of the Lord comes, and man, does the word of the Lord not sustain us when we are helpless, when we are in difficult times? The King James says, to give you an expected end. So the instead of hope, it says, to give you an expected end. It's like I can expect the end to be good. I can expect that there's restoration from the God whom I serve. He is at work in my life. Therefore, I take to verse 11 and 13, and I can with confidence speak it over my life because God is for me. I'm almost done. Romans 10, verse 17 says this. So faith comes by hearing. And the problem is, it should have said listening. Because men, come on, all the men hear this today. We sometimes we can hear but not listen. Oh, none of you will confess. Sis. Ah, you make me. I know when you're in your nothing box, you don't listen. Don't tell me I know you because I am you. I always said to Lorette, man, if I don't look like I'm listening, please just take me on the cheeks and go like, Liffy. Because then I was like, huh? You're saying what? Are you talking to me? So that's free tip for all the married women, okay? Today on Father's Day, if they don't listen to you, just grab them by the cheeks and then smooch them first. And then they'll be back with you, all right? Because I must make a good rule now. Wait, let me just think about it. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. We know the Scripture. We quote the Scripture. I hope we do the Scripture. Because my faith will grow when I hear the Word of God. And Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Come on, it's a substance of things hoped for. I want to tell you, like faith, hope is fueled by hearing the Word of God. Our hope does not come from an external source. It comes from hearing the Word of God. When my faith is rooted in the hearing of the Word of God, then my faith in the Word of God strengthens my hope in Almighty God. Must I say that again? Okay? When my faith is rooted in hearing the Word of God, then my faith in the Word of God strengthens my hope in an Almighty God. So when I'm in the Word of God, I get a glimpse of who this Almighty God is. It strengthens my hope, my faith, my expectation in God, and then He can be Almighty in my life. Because I've got an expectation for Him to pitch. So I have hope because I have the Word of God. If you are low on hope, get into the Word. And that's why it's very important for us to know the promises of God. The general promises of God contained in His Scripture, which pertains to all of us. But His specific promises, which He prophesies and speaks over us and reveals to us through Scripture, that pertains to your life and your purpose and your destiny. I need to know those two kind of promises in my life. Because the promises of God will steer me, will anchor me when the storms are raging and the waves are hitting my ship, then that anchor that is dropped into the Word will just keep me there steady. And I will not wash up on the rocks. Psalm 33, 18 to 19 says, behold, love this, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His steadfast love, that He may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in the famine. Oh, I love it. Makes me just want to fear and stand in awe of God even more. Because the more I do that, the more He just like watches me. He's all over me. I like it. Because then I know I won't be alone. Hebrews 6 verse 17 is my last scripture. 6 verse 17 to 20. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of His purpose. Just say that, the unchangeable character of His purpose. Okay, let's do that again. The unchangeable character of His purpose. Ah, there's a whole sermon just there. He guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we whom have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement and hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of our soul. My soul has an anchor. A hope that enters into the place behind the curtain. Oh, my hope is in Christ, that went behind the curtain of the holiest of holies. He freely entered because of his blood. My hope is in him, in other words. Where Jesus has gone as the forerunner on our behalf, having become the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. My hope is not some nice words, not some positive thinking or positive speaking. My hope is not hoping that something will happen. My hope is knowing something's going to happen. My hope is in a person who loves me so much and has a plan and a future and a destiny. You know what? And my now is not a prophetic word necessarily of what that is, especially from a place of hopelessness. God has a plan for you. So let me conclude. We can have hope in many things. You can have hope in many things. You can hope that things happen and be disappointed when they don't. Because that's often what happens, right? And your life, maybe at this time, is filled with so much disappointment because you've hoped so much and nothing has happened or little has happened. And you're like, why are they so okay and I'm not so okay? And maybe you're struggling really this morning, and I want to say to you that the God of hope is for you. He wants to fill you with all joy and peace. The Spirit of God wants to surround you this morning. See, when I have hope, I guess I can go places. I can face different things. I can, you know, be strong for lots of stuff. But when I have hope in Christ, I can go right up to the throne room of God and hear the word of my Father for me right now. Right now. Our hope is anchored in intimacy with Almighty God. That is where my hope lies. If our future is not secured and satisfied by God, then we are going to be excessively anxious. So I say that again. If our future is not secured and satisfied by God, then we are going to be excessively anxious. Let's stand. I believe my Father's will this morning for each one of us here is to be a people that radiates hope. Is to be a people that are hopeful. And seeing that this Father's Day, I want to specifically speak to the men here this morning. The men who is leading their homes. Yes, and gents, I know you've been through much. I know if you've faced much. But I pray that God will restore hope in your heart, in your life this morning. To every man that is standing here this morning, I want to say to you that he is your God of hope. To the young men that is around here. You know, so many people say there is no future for my kids in this country. I want to say that's a lie. Because it's not my country that determines my son's future, it's my God that does. And I know a lot of people have left for various reasons, of which that is necessarily one. But I want to say to you men standing here this morning that he is the God of hope. He is the God who has a plan for you and a future for you. Only be willing to trust him fully. For the fathers, I want to pray that you will lead your house and your children with an anointing from God, that they will become carriers of hope that will change the nation. That South Africa will not be the same because of the anointing that our children are carrying. Simply because you as the fathers have been with the Father. And he has poured out his presence upon your life. So let's pray. Father, I just come before you this morning. Can all the gents just raise their hands for me and just receive from God this morning by faith? Father, I want to pray for us, the men standing in this house this morning. Lord, I honor them as they stand in your presence and being here and leading their families here, Father God. And I want to pray this morning that, Father, you will fill them with all joy and all hope, that you will strengthen them, Father God, where they have been weary, where, they, Father God, they've maybe become tired, where they are even unsure of the future, Father God. I pray that you will bring assurance of future and hope in their lives, Father God, that you will strengthen their hearts and their minds, their understanding, their thoughts, Father God, as they search the scriptures, Father God. May they grow in intimacy with you to know the future and the hope that you have for each one of us, Father. May all hopelessness disappear this morning in Jesus' name. And we just rebuke and bind all fear and all anxiety over every man here this morning in the name of Jesus. And I speak the light of Christ into your heart and into your life in the name of Jesus. Devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I say that the blood of Jesus Christ is against you, and you will no longer frustrate the call and the destiny and of purpose on these gents' lives in the name of Jesus. Father, let your anointing increase upon them, Father God. May they flow and walk with you. Father, may they lead the way in the name of Jesus. May they be strong and courageous, Father God, by your Spirit, not their own strength and knowledge, but by your Spirit, Lord God. May they be so full of you, Lord, that the world will know that you are their God in Jesus' name. And then, Father, I want to pray over every person right now. Every man and woman and child. And I pray, Father God, that your anointing will rest upon us, your children. And that, Father God, over every woman here this morning that are in despair and anxiety and fear, I just release your anointing and your freedom over them now in Jesus' name. All fear is removed in Jesus' name. Just receive that. When your thoughts are all over the place, when you're unsure of how, you know, whether you're a good mother or not, or what's going on in your life, just receive the freedom of Christ in your mind this today in Jesus' name. Father, and I pray that it will drop down to their spirits and for joy to bubble up and overflow in Jesus' name.